Paula, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us this morning. Paula, the Liberals seem to be going to an awful lot of trouble to make sure the ALP have a sizeable majority at the next election, aren't they?
Absolutely. This is just craziness. And, you know, to the extent that everyday Australians are taking any notice, they'll just see that it's an absolute mess with people fighting over the deck chairs.
First off, what do you make of Malcolm Turnbull's manoeuvres, strategies here in the lead-up to this spill? I mean, first he tried to take the wind out of the sails by calling a bit of an unexpected one earlier in the week, and then refusing to call a meeting until those voting against him were willing to sign their names to a piece of paper proving the majority was already against him.
Well, it's actually his prerogative to do so. There is no set rules as to how such a meeting could be called, other than it's the Prime Minister's right to call it. And yes, he is being rather sly, calling for the 43 signatures. But and basically, he's calling out the fact that that the Dutton camp, and I must say the Abbott camp, because they're so closely intertwined, they don't quite have the numbers. And so he knows that he's putting pressure on them to demonstrate the numbers. There's this pushback from others saying, well, hang on, I'm not quite ready to overthrow Malcolm Turnbull. I'm not sure we're doing the right thing to do this. So, you know, Turnbull's showing some of the nimbleness that we have been missing for so long from him. But it's too late, isn't it?
Well, indeed, it seems to be. Let's assume Peter Dutton is our next PM. How would you, from your former position, how would you actually sell him to us before the next election? If you were in that job as his media advisor, I mean, nobody thinks he's a popular guy. Even Peter Dutton doesn't think he's a popular guy.
Look, I honestly don't think he's sellable. I'm sorry, I can't even hypothetically put that hat on. I mean, this is all about attracting back the base, if you listen to the Dutton camp. This is about bringing back those very conservative voters who've drifted away to One Nation, bringing them back to the Liberal Party. That may well occur, but the problem is that on the other end of the spectrum within the Liberal Party, the progressives and the centrists who voted for Turnbull will just run away. There's no way that they will vote for Dutton. So, look, you know, I wouldn't be giving this advice, but I would imagine that if Dutton becomes Prime Minister, he'll run a very Abbott-esque campaign. In fact, Abbott will do much of the running for him. So this will be about withdrawing from Paris, demonising the renewable sector, demonising immigrants. This will be about cutting population. It'll be playing to all of those dark thoughts that people like Pauline Hanson have been appealing to. So it's going to be an awful, awful election campaign.
Absolutely. I'm not looking forward to that one in particular, but just speaking of Pauline Hanson there, and you kind of touched on this already, they have been bleeding votes. The Conservatives have been bleeding votes to One Nation in Queensland. Is there any pragmatism at all in saying, well, if we can coax a few back in Queensland, maybe we'll lose the next election, but maybe we will have that Conservative base to stick with us for the next couple of cycles at the very least? Maybe we can draw them back from One Nation at least for the next few years. Is there any pragmatism in that?
But it's not enough. I mean, that's the problem. That rump of votes is, you know, anywhere from, what, 10 to 15%. But you'll lose, you know, if when you bring that amount of vote back in to the Liberal Party, if you can, and I'm not sure necessarily that you can actually bring them back, then you lose it from the other end. So, you know, this is, we go to John Howard talking about the Liberal Party being a broad church. It needs to appeal to its voters at either end of the spectrum, just as the Labor Party needs to do. So, you know, the Labor Party has the same problem. So, you know, you've had the split off from the Labor Party to the left with the Greens, and you've had the split off the coalition to the right with the Hanson Party. Politics has moved on from trying to bring those people home. It's all about, you know, second preference strategies and the like. So, I think it's shown a decided lack of strategy in the Dutton Abbott camp to suggest that they think that they can do so.
And before I do let you go, I just wanted to talk about, obviously, the other two runners in this race. Julie Bishop has been called perhaps the party's only chance to win at the next election. Certainly, she has that personal popularity behind her. She's been a popular deputy leader. Scott Morrison is nice, a little bit vanilla, but assuming they both run, how could this actually split the vote? I mean, are we likely to see a split away from Peter Dutton, or are we likely to see the two of them split the centrists?
I think the risk is that they will, the two of them will split their vote between them, and that's the risk. Morrison might be able to peel a few votes away from Dutton, but there's no way that Julie Bishop would be able to do so. So I'm surprised, actually, that she's running, because she doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell. So I honestly, I don't particularly like Scott Morrison, but I really do think he's the consensus candidate, and he could actually quite possibly, you know, be competitive against Shorten. But with Bishop running and splitting the vote, I'm not sure that Morrison can get up.
And just finally, Paula, do you have any predictions for Midday, a favourite horse in this race, or is it just too hard?
I don't have a favourite, but I do think that Dutton will probably win.
Well, Paula, thank you very much. Really appreciate getting you on this morning.
You're most welcome.